Greetings and blessings to all the beloved family of God and all our listeners on this platform. We want to thank the Lord for another day that we can gather again and enjoy the blessing of His Word. It is truly a privilege for us to be able to enter into His courts and to enter into His peace, especially in times that we are living in today, where there is so much evil going on in the world. But let us appreciate our Lord, for He keeps us from the evil one. And let us pray, our heavenly, gracious Father, we come to You in thanksgiving in our hearts. We come to You with gladness in our hearts for the words of life that truly is keeping us from the wicked one. We are living in such a dark time, but the light of Your word, Lord, isn't darkened in our hearts. It has enlightened our hearts. That is what matters. No matter what darkness there is in this world, the light of Christ is more evident, and the light of Christ shines brighter in this darkness. So we are so grateful, Lord, to see Your light. How could we ever see it if You did not touch our eyes and heal our blindness? Our eyes were so darkened, but it was Your eyes which looked for us and found us. Your eyes, Lord, is what matters. And Your eyes healed us. Your eyes cried for us. We are so blessed to be called the apple of Thine eye. And what a beautiful word we hear from Your scripture when You said, "He that touches You touches the apple of My eye." We are forever, Lord, hidden in the pupil of Your eye. It is no wonder that precious tears fell from the eyes of our Savior, for we were the apple, Lord, of Your eye. And we cried together with You. We came out of Your eyes, not being able to handle the love that You demonstrated for us. It was too precious to us, too great for us to handle. But not one tear, Lord, that came out of You will be lost. And that is Your promise to us. We love You and we praise You. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, we read in the book of Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 8, that we are the pupil of His eye. And this is the part of the eye which is very sensitive to touch. That is how the Lord brought the eye, and He made it in the natural to be so sensitive. The Lord made that part sensitive, and He said that whoever touches you is as He was touching the pupil of My eye. And therefore, touching it will bring out tears. And that is why so many tears were brought forth from His eyes. Because sin and death had touched us. And it was like touching the pupil of His eye. Now we can understand more His great crying and tears that came out of Him. Sin did touch us, and death did have a hold on us. But glory be to God for delivering us from such death. Amen. As we said in our series this week, that everything which came out of Him had the power to break a curse. And today we will continue the series and we will focus on His spit and saliva that came out of His mouth. Now, in the eyes of man, spitting upon someone is likened unto a curse. And just as the Lord God Himself said in the book of Numbers, chapter 12, verse 14, when He was speaking concerning Miriam, the sister of Moses, for Miriam had spoken against her brother Moses, and she was punished with leprosy. But look at the meekness of Moses when he cried out to the Lord to heal her. Moses forgave her from his heart and wanted God to heal her. But let us read what the Lord said to Moses concerning Miriam. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 14, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again." Amen. God likened the act of Miriam and made an example out of it when He said it was as her father had spit in her face. Why did God say this? Because Miriam was the one to spit in the face of Moses through her words which she spoke against him. And God had likened this to an act of her father spitting in her face. It was a shame to spit. And this shame had made Miriam to be shut out from the camp. But praise the Lord for the receiving of Miriam again. He did not keep her out. He made a way for her to be received again. And that was the same with Adam and Eve when they were filled with shame. Yes, they felt so much shame as if someone had spit on them. And they were shut out, the same as Miriam was shut out from the camp. Adam and Eve were shut out from the garden. But glory be to God for receiving them again. For the Lord had made a way. And that way was our Lord Jesus Christ, the tree of life. Amen. But so was it in the days when Jesus took upon Himself our sins. Jesus was taken outside of the camp and suffered outside of the gate. He was shut out, just like Miriam was, and just like Adam and Eve were. We read that in Hebrews chapter 13 from verse 11 and 12. It says, "For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered outside the gates." Amen. God told Miriam to be shut out from the camp and to go outside until she is received again. And so was it with Jesus, who became sin for us. He had to suffer outside the camp. And He was shut out for a little season until He was received up into glory. Amen. Just as God spoke the example of Miriam being spit on, so was it that our Lord was spit on. The scriptures record 2 different events when Jesus was spit on. It was only 2 occasions, which we read first in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 67. It says, "Then did they spit on His face and beat Him, and others smote Him." And the second time we read that someone spat on Him was in the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 30. It says, "And they spit upon Him, and took the reed, and smote Him on the head." We read twice that Jesus was spit on. Also, the Gospel of Mark is another witness of two different events which was recorded that Jesus was spit on. Just as Matthew recorded two events, Mark also is the other witness. And in the book of Mark, chapter 14, verse 65, we read the first time that they spat on him. It says, "And some began to spit on him and to cover his face." And the second time that Mark records it is in the book of Mark, chapter 15, verse 19. It says, "And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, bowing their knees, worshiping him." Oh my. Both Matthew and Mark records the spit on Jesus. Two different times they spat on him. And these were prophesied before it ever happened, thousands of years before, that Jesus would be spit on. These prophecies of Jesus being spit on were spoken in the days of Job. It was also Job who recorded two separate times these words when he was in his deepest sorrow. And these words which Job spoke were actually manifested in Jesus. The first time Job speaks of the spit was in Job chapter 17, verse 6. He said, "But he has made me a byword and a mockery among people, and I have become one in whose face people spit." And the second time Job mentions the spit was in Job chapter 30, verse 10. He says, "They abhor me, they flee far from me, and spare not to spit in my face." Job experienced twice the spit on his face. In reality, no one actually spit on his face, but the words that Job spoke was the same feeling as if someone had spit on his face. And these words that Job spoke, he spoke them twice. And twice was it recorded in the Gospels that they spat on the face of Jesus. A greater than Job came, and he was the one who actually was spit on in the face. And so it had to happen twice, just as Job mentions it twice in two separate events. The prophecy was fulfilled. The words of Job were written in the book of Jesus. Jesus lived them out in its fullness. Job had prayed once, and he said, "Oh, that my words were written and printed in a book." And so were they written in the greatest book ever known, the book of life that was Jesus Christ. Amen. And we know that before Jesus received the corrupt spit from all the people, before his face was covered with spit, moments before he was actually covered with something so precious, moments before this scene of Jesus being spat on, he was praying with great crying and tears which covered his face. Imagine that. The meekest face on earth, a greater than Moses, was filled with sorrow and agony and tears for our sakes. His face was covered in tears. And this was another prophecy that came out of Job. When Job spoke in Job chapter 16, verse 16, he said, "My face is red and swollen with weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death." And in verse 20, he said, "My friends scorn and ridicule me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God." Amen. It was these words of Job that manifested in the book of Jesus. The face of Jesus became so red and swollen from the weeping when he prayed for us. And his eyelids had the shadow of death for he was about to die for us. And in his prayer of strong crying and tears, which we read in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7, he prayed this prayer of strong crying to deliver us from death. And Job was saying that in his eyelids was the shadow of death, and that his face was covered in tears. These words, before Jesus had fulfilled them, thousands of years before, these were the words that Job uttered. And it was Job who wished to have all his words written in a book and engraved. We see it in Job chapter 19, verse 23. He says, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen forever upon the rock." And in verse 25, he says, right after he said that he wished his words were written in a book, Job said in verse 25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Amen. The words that Job wished were written were manifested in the book of Jesus. And Job said, "I know my Redeemer liveth." Truly, that book was none other than Jesus of Nazareth, who lives forevermore. This same Jesus who was spat on and ridiculed and mocked was the first one to demonstrate what truly a spit should do. The spit of the people came out with curses and mockery and ridicule, but the spit of Jesus Christ was so great that it came out with blessings and miracles. It was the greatest spit ever known. Unlike the spit of men, which was corrupt and filthy, the spit of our Redeemer was so pure and holy. His divine spit was different than any other saliva which came out. And we read this in the book of Mark chapter 8 from verse 23. "He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking." Amen. The spit of Jesus opened the eyes of the blind and made him to see the original plan of God. That plan is to make us men into trees of righteousness, walking in the garden of his delight, in the Garden of Eden. That blind man got to see the purpose of his creation. And we are created unto his good pleasure, to be in his pleasure, to be in his delight, to be in his Garden of Eden. It was the spit in the eyes of that blind man which made him to see the glory of God, which would make men walk as trees of righteousness. This is what the blind man had seen when Jesus asked him, "What do you see?" And again, we read another spit that Jesus did. And he records it in the book of Mark. Jesus spat twice on the face of man. Once in the eye of the blind man, which we just read, and now we will read the second time he spits on man. In the book of Mark chapter 7, verse 32, it says, "And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. But he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking upon to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Aftaha, that is to say, be opened. Amen. This time we see how Jesus touched the tongue and ear of man with his spit. This spit made the ear and tongue to be opened. He looked onto heaven and he said, Eftaha, which means to be opened. And surely he did open his tongue and his ear. And not only that, but it records that he had to take him to the side to do it. It was a secret work. Just as he took the blind man also aside, he did it secretly. And he used his own spit and saliva to bring forth the miracle. Amen. When Jesus looked onto heaven and said, be opened, there was also a deeper meaning to that. For surely the heavens had to open for us to receive his spirit of life. We needed heaven to open, for heaven was shut. We couldn't receive anything from heaven. But the Lord Jesus Christ came, and he looked onto heaven, and he said, be opened. And when Jesus was received up into heaven, he gave us of his heavenly spirit. That is why he looked onto heaven and said, be open. For he had a purpose to open that which was shut unto us. Amen. And Jesus demonstrated this act when he spit on the face of man. We needed his spit. We needed his saliva to touch our ground. For the ground was cursed ever since the days of the first Adam. Genesis chapter 3 verse 17 says, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. The ground was cursed for the sake of one man, but the ground was blessed for the sake of another man. By one man was the ground cursed, and by one man was the ground blessed again. It was John the Beloved who records this blessing, which the ground received. In John chapter 9 verse 6, it says, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of that spit. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Amen. This was the third time that we read Jesus had spit. The two other times were mentioned in the Gospel and the book of Mark. And the third time, we read it in the Gospel of John. John records the spit on the ground. The last Adam had to restore the ground from the curse it had once received. And when that holy spit was brought to the ground, there was a great blessing and miracle which came out of it. The Lord had formed clay from the ground that was covered in his saliva. The ground here did not bring a curse, but the ground brought forth the blessing. And that blessing came from his spit. Amen. Everything that comes out of him broke a curse. Let his name be glorified now and forever. It is his spit that is bringing forth miracles in our ground. Amen and amen. We thank the Lord for all that which came out of him. And we thank the Lord for the words that he fulfilled. All the words that Job spoke of were written in the book of life which Jesus lived on earth. And he manifested all that was written of him. And the volume of the book that was written of him, Jesus manifested all these words. and so will he manifest the sons of God when he again spits on our ground and heals our land and brings forth the greatest manifestation that the creation has ever known. All the creation is groaning for this manifestation, groaning for the sons of God. And our Lord Jesus will fulfill this promise. We shall continue this series tomorrow by the grace of our Lord. And may the Lord bless our day. In Jesus' name, we have prayed and we have believed and we have spoken. Amen.